Our text is the Psalm, Psalm 148, verse 14. And he has lifted up a horn for his people, praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. It's Sunday morning, but it's still early. The organist sits before the electronically enhanced keyboard and runs through the day's four hymns, the choir anthem, and the long ago memorized responses of page 158, Divine Service 2, first setting. The organist wants to be ready to lead the people as they praise God. Down the street a bit, the sacristan is busy in the chancel and the sacristy. The appropriate chasuble needs to be ready, the Eucharistic vessels arranged exactly. The cantor needs the propers, and the thurifer must be lit. He wants everything to be in order so that the people who gather may praise God. Still further down the street, guitars are being tuned, and a hi-hat cymbal is being adjusted. Sound checks are being done on a dozen microphones and pickups, and the larger-than-life video screen's computer is being rebooted and tested. All must be ready to help those who attend to praise God. So what does real praise look like? Does praise look like passionate praise band piety? Does praise look like high church incense, deference, and reverence? Does praise look like heartfelt, hymnal-bound, predictable sincerity? Is this the stuff of praise? What does praise look like? The Psalter seems a reasonable place to look for an answer, and what better psalm than the day's assigned text, 148. Here we have a remarkable picture of the shape of praise. The psalmist is not content with clouds of incense, ranks of organ pipes, and roof-raising choruses. No, the psalmist enlists the ultimate praise band, choir, and congregation. He recruits the whole of creation. He calls for the choir of the universe to offer its praise. With Yahweh as the recipient, nothing less will do. And so, starting from the far distance, the expanses of heaven, and then moving to the ocean depths, and then to the dry earth itself, successive representatives of each of these environments are enlisted to the task of praising the Lord. Angels, stars, sun and moon, sea monsters, trees, windstorms, mountains, all people, everything, everyone, everywhere is to praise the Lord. What does it mean? What does the praise look like? Who's right? It's easy enough to imagine angels and people praising. You can picture the heavenly ranks with their harps and their choirs, or if you prefer, their guitars and drum sets, along with the endless throng of humanity, all doing together whatever it is that you envision as real praise. What about the mountains and the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars? What have they got to do with this? How do they praise the Lord? Do the mountains sprout arms and lift them in praise? Do the trees grow mouths so they can open them up and sing? Do the stars start chanting their worship in a Gregorian melody? The problem, of course, is our definition of praise. And our definitions are usually far too small, far too narrow. Even the stork in the sky, writes Jeremiah, knows her seasons, and the turtle dove and the swift and the thrush observe the time of their migration. In other words, the birds do what God created them to do. That is the full and the correct way to think about praise. Creatures praise their Creator when they do what they were created to do. The greatest praise that can be offered to God is the praise of a harmonious creation functioning as God intended it to function. A well-oiled machine humming along at peak efficiency is always the Maker's greatest glory and praise. When the creation does what it was created to do, it praises God. And so stars burning and exploding across the expanse of space praise God. And planets orbiting persistently and obediently praise God. Angels eagerly doing God's bidding praise God. And monsters lurking in the depths of the sea and in the nightmares of children praise God. Even extraordinarily enough, even strong stormy winds blowing and howling through the world actually praise God. After all, the storm is simply doing what God created it to do. The storm is fulfilling Yahweh's word. As an obedient creature, the storm also praises the Creator. Simple conformity to the will of the Creator. That's the stuff of profound praise. It's rather a jarring thought, one that brings us up quite short. We're comfortable labeling hurricanes and tornadoes as great evils and routinely seek satanic sources for these things. But the psalmist has the deeper, more accurate understanding. When the elements of creation are doing what they were created to do, when they obediently do God's will, they praise God. Even hurricanes, even F5 tornadoes, incredible. Even you, incredible. Indeed, it is God's truth. When you, the creature, do what the Creator designed you to do, you are praising Him. It is praise and honor of your Creator that surpasses any other praise that you can give. God gives each part of His creation its part to play, and when you play your part, God is praised. The simple, ordinary, mundane, routine doing of the Creator's will is the greatest praise there is. But we, wise and knowing people, resist such a picture. Confident that we know better, we insist on concocting our own versions and our own methods of praise, certain that we are superior to such earthly, unimaginative things as simply doing the vocation that God has given you to do. In typical arrogant fashion, we make praise complicated and narrow, and of course, spiritual. God gives you the way to praise Him. Do what you were put here to do. Raise your kids. Love your spouse. Honor your parents. Care for your neighbor. Do your homework. That's the way to praise God. It is earthbound and tangible and utterly material. But instead of doing the lowly, ordinary thing, you go looking for more appealing, exciting, stimulating avenues of praise. And so it is that the crown of God's earthly creation, the creature made in Yahweh's own image, is the one creature that rebels and rejects the Father's intent and so fails to do the Creator's will. The stork and the thrush and the turtle dove know the Lord's will. You know better. You know that you can't trust the creation to behave itself. The stormy wind may do what it was created to do right on top of your house. You know better than to trust the Creator to behave Himself. Our God is quite unmanageable, altogether uncontrollable. Things don't always happen
the way that you think they should happen. God doesn't always do what you know he should do. And so your mind and your mouth and your hands are made foul, polluted with the sin of doubt and distrust and rebellion. In your corruption, you cannot praise your Creator. No praise chorus, no chorale, no Kyrie eleison can make up the praise. Your disobedience destroys it all. Praise is gone. But God gives it back. Doing what the Creator always does best, he steps in and gives the creatures what they don't have. When your praise has been ripped out of your throat and torn from your hands by your own sin, when your praise has been taken away, God restores it. What God demands of you, he gives to you. The strength, the ability that you do not have, he supplies. And he has raised up a horn for his people. He has given you your praise. He has given you his son. The horn of God's strength was raised up for you indeed. For you, the corrupt and the rebellious and the helpless creature, God's strength, God's horn was lifted up. And at Golgotha, noisy, clamorous creatures mocked the Creator and derided the folly and the weakness of God's elevated strength. They ridiculed God's horn of salvation, but the weakness of God is stronger than men. And in the lifting up, we were overcome. And our pride was humbled, and our self-confident knowledge was shamed and silenced, and our sinful self, born in the image of Adam, was killed and drowned. And you were lifted up. Along with the horn of God's strength, you have been raised up from the tomb of death and corruption, one with the Son at the font. His resurrection is yours. His strength is yours. His victory is yours. His honor is yours. His praise is yours. God himself gives you your praise. He gives you Jesus, who is the Son of God and the horn of God and the praise of God, who is the praise for you, the humble creature of God. God has given you your praise. He has put you back into your place in the choir of all creation. He has given you your part to play. Play it. Play your part. Do your vocation to the praise of the Creator. Play your part here at Concordia Seminary. Play it in Sturgis, South Dakota, and in Perryville, New Jersey, and in Delray Beach, Florida. Play it in all the places, in all the corners, in all the remote valleys of this vast world. Play it where God sends you. Play it today. Play the part that God has given you to play. That's what praise looks like. It is the best, the most exquisite Te Deum ever sung. It is your praise. Amen.